It worked. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And Gerald. Thank you, Gerald. What was that? Wrong church. Oh, all right. Just praise Gerald. Okay. Remember those one-liners that Reverend Joel talked about last week? What if they were all always true? They were all always true. What if everything that Jesus said is true, without exceptions, that every single word verbatim was true? What if you could believe, always completely, totally believe that you are one with God? What would your life look like right now if you could just stop being angry, fearful, or doubtful? What would your life look like? Would you be willing to give it up? Can you give up being right to be happy? Anybody willing to give up being right to be happy? Would you be willing to admit your longtime hold on resentments and limited concepts that had you feeling, oh, so superior, if you could be guaranteed total happiness? What if doing more for your employer than you are paid to do really did bring you more prosperity? Some resistance on that one. What if you really do only get as much as you can handle? What if that were true? And what if God really is pouring itself down and over you without hesitation? And that was just not a platitude, a hallmark moment. What if that were true? The awe of life lives within the body of the law of life. We talk a lot here about the law of mind, the law of reciprocity, the law of cause and effect, what was the movie you all saw? The law of attraction. How many started into this teaching because of that movie, The Secret? All right, a few of you. We talk a lot about the law, and we talk about the law of attraction. But what we sometimes forget, because we're busy being good little metaphysicians, even here we forget sometimes, that there is an impulse that makes that law workable, lovable, attractive, juicy. And if we only work within the law, I'm sorry to say to you, you are missing some of the good stuff. The law is good. The law is very good. It's very dependable. It is principle. It is of the changeless principle that is. But the awe of life that is within the law, oh, that's where your heart begins to sing. So it is with ease that I can declare truth about the rally for next weekend. It is with ease because the law says so. I can declare that this law, that the rally is sold out to capacity. And the law, as long as I'm on board with it and we are collectively on board with it, says yes. Now, when I come here next week and the room is filled, what I fill up on is the awe. Sometimes I'll treat for something, and actually this happened. We, slowly we've been taking care of the building. And so what happened was I really wanted it, but the board, wanted to have a new floor laid down, the hallway floor. We wanted it laid down before the rally, and as you could see on it, you walked over today, it's still the same floor. But I wasn't letting go. you know, and so we had other decisions to make, and I just kept holding on. Like, I don't know how, but this is going to work. I don't know how. And from the place that I could never have seen it coming, gets donated $2,500. So when you come in here next week, the floor will be down. I hope you're applauding the awe, because that's it. I could not have seen it coming. I could not have went up to and thought that person was going to do that. I couldn't have predicted it. I couldn't have laid it out. I could not have orchestrated that. But that's good, because that's not my job. My job is to be in the awe of life. And to remember that one grows out of the other. I have a big idea for the center. And the big idea is built on many different things that I observe in the world. And I don't talk about that often because I had to get clear with myself. I had to make sure this was not an ego-driven, bigger is better, I'm as good as everybody else kind of thing. Because, you know, sometimes I go out to ministers' conference and it would be easy to walk away feeling less than, you know, my church isn't as big as their church. I know. Doesn't that sound silly? Trust me, it goes on. We all do it. And so for many years, I came home feeling like, oh, mine's not as big, it's not as good. We have problems. But I decided not to play that this year. I went to conference feeling full, feeling alive, feeling like I was being very present with counting the blessings, watching your lives transform, watching you come up and tell me things, send me emails about what changed, what worked, you're feeling better, you got a job, something. And so I got very present to all of the beauty and the miraculous things that are happening everywhere. So how could I possibly in any way use that to measure me as not enough? How could I possibly have done that? That would have been just dumb. Just dumb. So I didn't. So when I got really okay that the reason for the more is because there's more people that need us. Because I could walk out this door and I could almost guarantee you that the first person I spoke to, if I really sat down and spoke to them, within moments I would find that that person very likely did not have a language to talk about self-love, self-forgiveness. Pretty quickly, I could find someone that says, boy, they need a different language. And I recently got to be, to have the opportunity to minister to someone, not within this teaching. And I found out, it's true that not everybody has the language we have. We are blessed. We are blessed to have the language. We are blessed to have this teaching. We are blessed to have each other. We are blessed that even when we fall down, we can pick each other up and that we can let ourselves fall in front of each other. But go ahead, go across the street and start talking to somebody else. There's more to do. There's more to do. And so what happens is I have this big idea. And yes, I'm sorry. I want to see 300 to 500 people in a one sitting on a Sunday. It doesn't make me one bit happier, but it makes them happier. It makes 300 to 500 people happier. Yes? So here's the thing. So I have this big idea. So sometimes with the big idea, because I have this in my brain, there's sometimes I feel like there are things that are not in place. I feel maybe like there's not the amount of support that's needed. But so I made a mistake, and this was my mistake because I was at a principal. My mistake is that I was counting my less than instead of my I haves. So I went to one of my practitioners and I said, and who was having a lovely conversation with me and being so supportive. And she said, and she offered to treat me. I said, if you're going to treat that I clean up my consciousness, because my consciousness is not gathering what it needs to gather. That was last Saturday. Sunday I walked in, and because I didn't have to do church, I didn't have to speak, I got to play, and you saw me walking around taking pictures, and I was just having a good old time. But what happened was I walked in that door, and the first thing I saw was Celine helping Ray Atkins get the music together. And the door was open. I didn't need my key. And then I walk in, and my sweet brother Donald here was sweeping the floor. I was like, oh, I didn't ask him to do that. And then Olga was running around doing what Olga does, and I hadn't asked her to do that. And Susan Sephoric was in the children's ministry, taking care of the children. And I hadn't called her up. They said, are you going to be there? And Dave was counting the books, and someone was doing something else, and I think Yvette was here vacuuming. Not happy, but she was vacuuming. Not happy, and she did it anyway. And I thought, oh my God, what got healed was my vision, my consciousness. Do you understand? The support was all around me. But one of the first ways that very often we break the spiritual principle in our practice is we don't count the beauty that's already around us. I had the law in motion. I was forgetting about the awe. You following me? It was right there. Do we need more for more? Yes. Yes, we do. But it was right there, and I almost missed it. And I was whiny about it. It was not pleasant. It wasn't. So I had a shift in consciousness, and I got to see what was already there. So what is already in your life that you are not breathing into your being by the awe? I know some of you will work in jobs that are not pleasant. Bless them anyway. Maybe you're not working. Bless the free time. You're in a marriage that isn't quite working. Bless your partner. Because until we move into the awe, the law doesn't provide for us as much because we disconnect from it. You know the whole the gas brake thing? You ever see somebody who drives with one foot on the gas, the other one on a brake? Oh, that makes me crazy. You know, and they do this, right? Well, that's what happens when you walk around and you want to declare, or you declare all that's good. Oh, you're taking Reverend Joel's prosperity class, and you go to your mailbox, and it's filled with checks, right? It's filled with checks. Oh, yeah, it's working. And then what happens? A friend comes over for coffee, and you start to bellyache. I can't stand that I always have more bills than money. Break. Gas in the mailbox. Break. You just disconnected. And that's what we do. We set the law in motion, and then we forget about the awe. We don't count our blessings. We go break. Let me tell you, you leave God pretty confused. Are you a receptive vessel or you're not? Oh, she wants good. Oops, no, she doesn't. And this is what happens. The way that we keep the flow flowing is to be in the awe. The law works. But the awe keeps the door open. That's your heart. That's your heart. I have a reading for you. Oh, it's in the Pathway of Roses. If you don't know this book, you want to. It's beautiful. It's Christian Larson. There never existed an awakened soul that did not believe in a spiritual state of being, and there never existed a soul in any condition of human understanding that did not have glimpses at times of what appeared to be another. To those who had simply gained the simplest form of human consciousness, this other world seemed to be far away, a place we could not inherit until we had taken our departure from this invisible state of existence. But to those who were on the verge of spiritual consciousness, this other world was not a far away place. Those awakened souls could discern that it was a spiritual realm in which all might dwell today, the kingdom of heaven that is ever at hand. The kingdom of heaven is ever at hand, but we forget. I would say that we don't ever want to go into the mechanical so much that we forget about the joy and the awe and the beauty. Plotinus, who we're studying now with the 300 students, taught that anyone in love with wisdom, namely a philosopher, has to undertake a quest to find his or her beloved, for the truth resides at the summit of the spiritual mountain that is the cosmos. The path leads the soul from its current immersion in the depths of materiality and sensual pursuits to the more ethereal heights of mind and intuitive intelligence, and then to the spiritual pinnacle of reality, the One. Plotinus says, and so did Plato, actually. Plotinus was inspired by him. If you're in this teaching, it is, and I've been saying this simple piece to you for years, this is not Sunday only. This is not a Sunday only. You are really only in this teaching as much as the next act, as the way you treat the next person, as the next decision that you make. To be congruent within this philosophy is what empowers you. But if you allow yourself to be tempted by upset by the world at large, by conditions outside of you, you are disconnecting from the philosophy that you say you believe in. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You got to be all or nothing. And all is where your power is. That's when you're living a life that people don't have to ask you what you believe in. Let them know by your actions. Let people know who you are by the way you treat them. Let them know who you are by the way you tip that waitress. By the way you pick up something off the ground, even though it wasn't your garbage to pick up. Let them know who you are in all of your activities. Do you understand? This was written on the wall of a concentration camp. I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. I believe in God, even when he is silent. On the walls of a concentration camp. That person wasn't worried about the law of life and the law of attraction. That person was living from the awe of life. Can you do that? Can you join me there? Would you be willing to try living, breathing, walking, talking the awe of this teaching? Are you afraid? You might be, because it calls you out. It might call you to be something you're not, or that you think you're not. It might call you to be in action in a way that you haven't wanted to be, to take the higher road, to practice the forgiveness, not just talk about it. But I was very moved when I realized that if there's any place in my life that I am not living and breathing in what I say I am, that incongruency, wherever that is incongruent, there's the pain and suffering in my life. Do you see that? Think about when you're plugged in and when life is good. And then think about when you're not plugged in and what life feels like. The law and the awe of life will not let you down. So a good friend of mine the other day, I called him up and I shared with him about the money that came in, the donation. And he said to me, but why are you surprised? You know it was going to happen. I said, I'm not surprised. I'm in celebration. Sometimes we think we're supposed to take it all in stride. Don't take it in stride. Scream it out. Hallelujah, it's working again. Thank you, God, for the good. Thank you, God, for the grace. Thank you, God, for my abundance. Thank you, God, for those who love me. Thank you, God, for the fact that I can love. Thank you, God, for the sun is shining. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't be calm and quiet and sweet about it. Shout it from the mountaintops, because then you have your attention where it should be. And people will know who you are by your actions. They will know who you are as they watch you treat another. People are watching. It's good that you come here on Sundays, and it's good that you come to class, but people are watching. So outside this door, when someone watches you, do they want to come in here because of you? Or are they running for the hills? Do they see you as congruent, or do they see you as incongruent? Oh, yeah, they talk that spiritual stuff, but you know what they do when they leave there. Who are you? Who are you in this? Who are you in the game of life? Be in the awe. Yes? Yes. Yes? You afraid? Some might be, I get it. I'm really calling you out on the rug here, I get it. But imagine if someone was always watching you. Imagine that. Think about that. Somebody's watching. Not God, because God does not punish. Don't do that. God does not keep tally. But wow, if someone saw me right now here in what I'm doing, if someone heard me in my car, if someone saw me in front of the bank teller, if someone saw me dealing with an ex, would they know what I believe in? Check yourself out, and then check it out again, as Thich Nhat Hanh would say. Yes? Let's connect. Oh, my dear God. There is a love, there is a law, there's the awe of life itself. I live, I breathe into it, I drink from it. It is that which pulsates through my body temple. It breathes me as I breathe it. It moves me into action. It calls me to a higher order and a way of being. And I trust that this movement is God-inspired. I trust that there is only good, there is only grace, there is only love, there is only movement, there is only possibility. I trust. And in trusting, my consciousness is picked up. I shake off all that does not support the I am that I choose to be. I act, live, and breathe in the love that is God that I am. I let nothing distract me. I let nothing separate me from my God, the one God, the one and only. So feeling fully nurtured, I trust. I trust. I allow this reality to be the only reality that I know. And I release this word into the law of life with my open heart. And so.